Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I am proud to bring you The Creative Process, hosted by the one and only Nick Curto. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you this fine evening?
Oh, very, very well. It's been quite a day here. It was in the 40s, so it was very chilly here in Manhattan. And it felt very cold indeed, and the wind gusts really made that even worse. The forecast is saying that for this coming week, it's going to warm up to the 60s, which we all can't wait for. And the crazy part is, Hercules, is that I was out walking around Manhattan today, and there were people that were bundled up wearing heavy coats, scarves, and winter hats. And I saw a lot of other people wearing just thin tank tops and shorts. So, go figure.
I was wearing a T-shirt.
Well, really? Okay, well, you're one of the hardy ones. No, I had a winter coat on. Maybe because the breeze might have been more here in where I am in Manhattan. Maybe that was it.
Maybe. As always, I'm looking forward to your show tonight, and you have a special guest.
I do indeed. Yes, I do. And please, if you will, give me about 6 minute warning before we leave, because I want to do my parting words, and then I want to have some time for you.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that, and I will. I hand the show over to you.
Excellent.
My friend.
Okay, excellent. This is live 60-minute podcast program on Blog Talk Radio. Is titled The Creative Process with Nick Curto, and I'm Nick Curto, your host. A very brief background about yours truly. I cannot remember a time when I wasn't creative in my life, right from the very, very beginning. As a child living in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is located in the lower western part of the state, as a kid, I was doing drawings, watercolor, paintings, constructing small sculptures, doing clay modeling, and I produced my own puppet shows at school. I attended the George Walter Vincent Smith art classes, and I will always be very, very grateful for the free art classes that they offered the young folks at that wonderful museum. I also attended the Technical High School, where my dad also went to school, where I accelerated in art class for sure, and also for drama club. I acted in school shows as well as writing scripts, designing stage sets, and costumes too. I also designed the high school senior prom, which I am very, very proud of. That was quite an undertaking. It certainly was. Now, I searched for an art school to apply to after graduation, and my first choice, and frankly my only choice, that I really wanted to go to was the Massachusetts College of Art and Design in Boston, Massachusetts. That was my very first choice, and I had my heart set on that. Well, the letter finally arrived a month after I had traveled to the college to show them my portfolio. And here's the letter, and we opened it, and there was a hush, and it said, I have been accepted, and I started the fall, and it was one of those moments I will never, ever forget in my life, because everything depended upon that, and it came through. I took a four-year advertising graphic design course. After graduation, I was armed with my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree, a plaid suitcase without wheels at the time, and headed directly to New York City to begin my advertising design career, and also, and this is important, to pursue other creative outlets, which I really wanted to do, and I thought this is the place to do it. New York City is the place. The more various types of creativity, the better, has been and still is very much my motto. And for a very good reason, it opens up new doors of expression and new horizons of interest, and also very interesting people along the way. I now still do designing and PR, and I also teach an improv acting class to a mix of different ages, as well as a senior group, which is quite wonderful. So I'm still very much involved in that. I also write some songs. I'm working on a song right now, probably that will be recorded next month, and it's a rock song. Okay, let's get right to it. My featured guest for my program tonight is a multi-talented and wonderfully creative person. Her name is Kelly Diaz. A very warm welcome to you, Kelly.
How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy that you are here. Also, our audience should know that Kelly happens to be my niece, and she is the first guest I've ever had on my podcast program from my family. So this is a very special program indeed. My other talented niece, Kathy McSweeney, she's also creative and also a wonderful, wonderful mom. She does so much for her son. His name is John, who excels absolutely amazing in the basketball realm. I've seen his moves, and he's a champ. And he right now is working on getting a grant to attend his first year of college coming up this fall. Now I'd like to start this off, this amazing time, the same from the very, very beginning. So may I ask you, please, where were you born and where do you make your home now?
So I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, and I grew up in Southwick, Massachusetts, and now I'm living in Westfield.
Okay. And are you from a very big family with brothers and sisters?
I have one older sister. It was kind of fun growing up because we're actually 18 years apart. I'm the baby. I was a surprise.
Okay,
I was a graduation present, so you know.
Right. And I want to ask you, were your mom and dad in any way creative? Do you remember, were they very creative in any particular ways might have influenced
my
you?
My mom, growing up, my mom was always crafty. I remember her making like Halloween costumes. She used to do a lot of arts and crafts. My dad was more like musically inclined. He loved to play the trumpet, and he was all about music. I remember drawing at a young age with him, you know, learning how to draw. So I would say I definitely got stuff from my parents.
Right. And were any other, if you can recall, any other family members creative?
Well, you.
Well, you better say that. Thank you very much for that. How about any aunts or uncles or?
I would say my grandfather, your dad. I mean, musically, he liked to dance.
Yeah, he really did. He liked to entertain. I think that would have been another profession for him if things had gone a little differently.
So.
Right?
And
he loved to
grandma,
be the center of attention. Grandma, absolutely.
Right.
What?
Grandma used to sew her own clothes. Yep, she used to sew Barbie clothes. Yeah. Definitely. Come from a multi-talented family.
So really, see the fertile ground. Now, some people don't have that, and we were really blessed with that. Other people, they're the very first one in their family to do anything creative. I've talked to people, and nobody around them was ever creative, and they were the very first. So everybody has a different story, but it's so interesting to see, you know, how things grow. Can you remember, Kelly, any early memories about the kinds of creativity you did early on?
I did dance. I was in dance, I want to say, at 2.5, 3 years old. I think I stayed with it for about 11 years. And then I did a lot of music. I did chorus. It was my passion in high school. If I was to follow it, I would have went to school for it. But things happen along the way. Life doesn't always go as planned. But really, music and crafts, too. You know, Girl Scouts, being in that, that was fun to do, too. My mom was my troop leader, so thank you, Mom.
Yeah. So that there was a lot around you, a lot going on there, which is so good. So fortunate that you had that and have that.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go to, I got to tell you, of course, just to cap this part of it, you being an amazing homemaker, oh my goodness, and your wonderful husband, Aaron, and you have two wonderful little daughters, Carly Ann and Abby Rose, and they are both dolls. They really are. And that must give you such total pleasure and enjoyment to bring up those little girls.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, of course, as you said to me, it's a full-time job, and boy, is it ever. on so many levels, on so many levels. And that brings me to a place I want to talk to you about, which is your amazing creativity. And I'm saying that I was absolutely astounded when I saw you on the TikTok doing those spots. I didn't realize until fairly recently that you were doing that. And I started looking at them, and I'm telling you, I was absolutely thrilled about how you come off on camera. Really, it's like you had courses in acting and comedy, and you did it, right? You never took those courses, right? You never did that?
Never did. I always watched SNL as a kid. I guess, where the comedic thing comes in. I loved watching SNL growing up. I probably shouldn't have young, but it was fun.
Yeah. Well, it certainly moved over to what's going on now. And tell people what your handle is for that. I know that there's an A, and then could you slowly spell that out so they can know what that is?
Oh, sure. It's That Massachusetts Mama, but in between. So it's THAT.MASSACH. I can't even spell. Oh my goodness. Let's see.
US.
Yep, Massachusetts, and then dot.
Right.
MAMA.
Right, right. Okay, so the A in a circle, THAT dot Massachusetts, MASSACHUSETTS.
SETTS dot Mama, MAMA.
Mama. I love that.
I couldn't have made it shorter,
Massachusetts Mama. when I read that, I laughed. I really laughed. And I read that you have 1,875 followers and counting. Wow. Congratulations.
18,000. I just hit 18,000.
Oh, it's not one? It's 18?
No, 18.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is really something.
It's funny because I think a lot of people, during COVID and lockdowns and stuff, were just bored. And I'm like, I'll just sign on to TikTok and see what all this is about, because all my friends were posting stuff. And I met some really funny people that became friends with, and just started posting stuff. And I, now, I post whatever I think would make someone laugh, just to give someone a laugh. If I can make one person laugh or give them a funny idea for the day, then my job is done. It's a total hobby of mine.
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, you succeed. You do. I love the byline there. It says, fueled by caffeine and anxiety. And then it says underneath it, and positive vibes only. I love that. Oh my God. When I read that, I laughed so hard.
I am fueled by caffeine.
Yeah. And on camera, I see you a lot of times, and you're holding some delicious coffee in that mug, or whatever you have there, whatever you call that. And you look like you're having such a good time. And I got to tell you, you're very authentic and very genuine on the screen. You just are. And you're totally yourself. And I love that. I love the fact that you did that, the way that you are presenting yourself as authentic. I love the fact you're doing that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sorry.
No, but it takes my point. It takes guts to do that. It really does to put yourself out there and say, hey, this is me, and I'm here, and I hope you can view me. But that's terrific. You did that. The technique of that is great.
Thank you. I think a lot of people just post like mostly their highlight reels. You know, people don't want to do the everyday thing, get vulnerable and everything. But I normalize that. We're all human. We're not perfect. Life is messy. It's okay. You know,
that comes across. And I think that a lot of young mothers, I'm sure you have an audience of all ages, but I think especially young mothers your age are so identifying with you, and they're understanding how you're coming across and what you're saying. And when that particular part of your TikTok spots come on, I think they very much think of you as a friend. Don't you think so?
I hope they do, because honestly, I try and be, you know, there. If I want to, you know, if I was interested in it, I want to be able to relate to someone. I want someone to be like, hey, I could call her up and have a coffee with her. You know, we couldn't, but you know what I mean.
No. Well, it does absolutely resonate, and it does. And I think that your audiences really connect with you on a lot of levels. They feel as though they know you, and they identify with your life, your dreams, and your challenges. As a hardworking mom in Western Massachusetts, as a young homemaker, I just think that you really connect that way, and it's very genuine, and it's wonderful to see that. I just give you a lot of credit for that.
Thank you.
And also, I got to say that another part of what you do on your spots on TikTok is very, very funny stuff. Oh, my goodness. You take recorded voices from someone else. It might be a man, a woman, of any particular age. I don't know if you've done animals yet. And you mimic them. You pantomime to the camera with those recorded crazy voices. And it is so funny to see you. And you really... I tell you, you kill. You absolutely kill when you do that. And it's so funny. And another part of what you do is the comedy part of that. I love that. I'm sure your audience goes crazy with that.
Thank you. It's fun. It's fun to do.
Yeah, but it looks it. Like when you're having fun, people viewing you, they have fun too. That's the way it works. And that absolutely
right.
Works very, very much so. Also, I got to say one more thing too, maybe two.
Yeah.
The choice of really good music that you pick to put on some of your spots.
Oh, thank you. Music is my thing. I love music. I try and do like what's trending and stuff, because when you do pick a trending sound, you do get across to more people. But sometimes I, you know, just in a mood, and I play anything from jazz to, you know, pop today.
Absolutely. A wide variety of styles. But that makes it even more interesting. And I just think that adds, your choice of music is great. And it really helps the spots a lot. And also, of course, you have a lot of talents. I have a little list here, but cooking and baking, certainly you excel at that. And you have absolutely perfected that. And I know that sometimes you give a little bit of a cooking or baking something about something you found out, or you talk about that a little bit on your spots.
I actually just posted one today.
oh, okay.
It's funny, just Muddy Buddies. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're like the Czech cereal with chocolate and peanut butter, and you melt it and everything. But I just, people post like, and it's, you know, not insulting anyone. You know, anyone can post what they want, but people more post the highlight stuff, like the perfect recipe with the perfect editing. Mine was a train wreck today, but I had fun with it.
Very good. I've learned to cook and even bake. When I went to school, when I went to Boston, I had no clue about any of that because my mom, your grandmother, was an incredible cook. And when I went to Boston, I never thought to say, well, you know, how do you do this? How do you cook that? And when I went there, the first year I ate Swanson TV turkey dinners and Campbell's soup. That was it. And when I came back home from the first year back to Springfield, I said, Mom, you got to tell me, teach me to cook, please, because I'm not going to go through another year of Campbell's soups and TV turkey dinners. I like them, but there's a lot more, and I really want to know. And she was terrific about, you know, teaching me how to cook and how to do that. I always be grateful to her for that. And
she made the
holiday,
best chocolate chip. I'm sorry. I was going to say she made the best chocolate chip cookies.
God, yes. Those chocolate chip cookies are they're legendary. They're legendary.
They are.
You cannot get enough chocolate chip cookies. You can't. You just can't. And I, for one, I'm saying that too because I'm not a stranger to her chocolate chip cookies at all. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is I've been to your home when, of course, some of the holidays, and you always go, I won't say overboard, just wonderfully fun holiday decorations for you, your husband, and your two little girls. And I noticed that sometimes you do crafts, your own crafts. Can you tell a little bit? I saw a wreath you were doing. Can you just tell a little bit about the kinds of crafts you do?
Definitely affordable. So it's funny because Halloween, like fall and everything, this was a TikTok thing I actually saw. Someone had made this great pumpkin wreath. And I said, I'm going to try that. You know, I want to try it. It's from the dollar store. Everything online was ridiculously expensive. No one has money to spend on extra things. So I took $20, went to the dollar store, got all the supplies, and I actually posted a tutorial on TikTok. And that just, I think it has over 1 million views, which was, it blew my mind. I just shared something. I'm like, wow. But I actually started making them and selling them at a craft fair. I sell them at the local farm I work at. And I like to save money if I can, where I can. But I also enjoy doing it to show my girls, you know, like you can make something that's just as good, if not better, from the store, and you have it, you know.
Well, the message that you have is that you don't have to just go out and buy it. You can make it. You can be creative yourself, and that has a lot of dividends. When they learn that they can do that too, they can. You can go ahead and create something on your own. And so much more satisfying, too, don't you think?
Absolutely. I enjoy doing it. It's fun, you know.
Yeah, and it looks it. It just looks it. And you do such a good job. You're so professional. I saw that particular wreath you did. I think it was for fall, for Thanksgiving,
yep, for pumpkin
perhaps.
Wire.
Yeah. And
I still have one hanging up in my house.
Well, hey, listen. Why not?
It's all year round here.
Yeah, why not? But anyhow, it's a gift, and you're doing that. And, of course, that has a lot of dividends, as you're saying. You could give them as also a gift, or you could sell them, or you could just simply decorate your home with your own creativity. And that counts a lot. So it's just a big difference, and I just enjoy seeing you doing that. And also, of course, your home, you've decorated your walls and it feels so homey. You made it such a, not a house, it's a home. It's a home for you, your husband, and your girls. And it feels it. And that's a gift also. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you.
And on the holidays, you were doing, as your grandmother and my mother, was making costumes. And that is also a real talent. And you certainly have done that. I imagine you've done that for different seasons, like for Christmas or Thanksgiving or Halloween or whatever. And they're seeing you doing that. And, of course, the lesson is that, yes, you can make your own clothes. You can. You don't have to go out and buy things. You could make them, too. And that's a great message for your children.
Absolutely. I remember being in high school, and the big trend at the time was like the huge jeans, you know, the big baggy jeans that are coming back now. And they were so expensive, I couldn't afford them. So I actually cut apart my jeans and sewed material in. And I wore them to school.
Okay. Wow. It's, again, it makes it kind of special when either you or your parents or whoever is making something for you, because it takes on almost a little emotional that this was made for me. And there's a feeling about that that's very, very warm and positive. And that's a really good message to send out. So when you're doing that too. So again, good for you to do that. Now I'm going to go to another amazing, amazing part of you and your husband, Aaron's wife, which is something that you're raising in your backyard. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about how that started and what you had to learn and how it's going?
I blame it on my husband.
Okay.
We have chickens. We do. If you told me 10 years ago, I'm actually sitting next, this is the next part. I don't think you know this part. I'm sitting next to mealworms in my basement right now in a container for the chickens.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my God. I just got a vision of that. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Fantastic.
Yeah. It's educational
for the
kids.
Was it Aaron's idea to say, you know, why don't we try to raise chickens? Was it his idea originally?
Yes, definitely. I will give him all the credit.
Wow. And has any of his relatives, have they done that before?
No. No. His stepsister, they have chickens. So, like, our extended family, they have chickens. And they've had them for a few years, too. But this is a first for us.
Wow. Well, being a city slicker, when I went out to the back, they said, take a look what's out back. I went, whoa! I'm seeing little faces walking around. Oh, my goodness. And they're cute. They are. They're amazing. And you constructed that, what do you call it, a chicken coop? Is that the right word?
Yep. My husband built the chicken coop. He just got plans drawn up, and he bought all the material and built that himself.
Good for him. Good for him to do that.
I painted.
Well, hey, it needs to be done. And it turned out very well. It looks really good. And
you got some
happy little – how many chickens do you have?
We have 9.
Okay.
And
9 chickens.
They all have names.
Do they really?
They do.
And you can tell the difference. You can tell one chicken from the next.
It's funny how they do have personalities. They do. The leader is, her name is Nugget.
Okay, I got to go into this a little bit. Now you got my interest here. What kind of personalities do they, are there shy chickens? Are there chickens that are, I don't know, leaders? Or what is that like?
There's a pecking order. So there is one chicken, Nugget. She is the boss. So if, you know, she leads them everywhere. They go out in the yard. She leads them back in at night. And the one that's at the bottom, we do have like a difference in ages. There's 4 of them that are younger. So naturally one of the younger ones is at the bottom. But it's funny. It's really funny. We have a little one named Matilda. She skips around the yard.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And
it's great to have them because – I'm sorry.
Go ahead, please.
I was going to say the great thing is the girls get to raise them. You know, our kids get to learn about them, and they actually help take care of them. My oldest daughter wants to be involved with animals, you know, when she's older as a career. So this is like a little bit of practice for her, you know.
Yeah, that's great. You're leading the way there, saying that this is a possibility. And to really appreciate animals. I always think that animals are a little bit of a miracle. I mean, no matter if it's fish or what, or dogs, cats, any kind of pets, I see them as really wonderful human like beings. They are just beings, and they do have personalities. And I've seen dogs that are shy, or dogs that are very aggressive, and cats that have real personalities, and they let you know if they like you or not. I mean, they don't hold back. I mean, a cat will tell you very quickly if they approve of you or not. I just get such a kick out of that, you know? I recently was near a cat, and the cat was just looking at this wall, and there's no reason for the cat to look at that wall, but the cat was staring at that wall. And I'm wondering what the cat is perceiving. Is there something that we can't perceive that the cat somehow is sensing or listening to or smelling? I don't know. But it was this crazy stuff, really crazy stuff. So I love animals, and of course you do too. Now, did Aaron have to read a book? How did he, I mean, how do you begin to go into the whole idea of raising your own chickens? I mean, how did he know what to do, where to buy chickens?
Well, they sell them at, we have a Tractor Supply in our town, or in the next town over, and they actually sell chicks, I think, February through September. So you can actually go in the store and buy chickens.
Okay. And does someone guide you as to what type of chickens you should buy and what kind of feed? Is there guideposts along the way, though?
Yeah, I mean, he did a lot of research before we got them, and the people at the store are great, great help answering any questions and everything. But, I mean, we definitely, it's a learning curve. We've been learning as we go. I definitely don't recommend to get chicks if you live in New England in the wintertime, because they are living in your house, and that's what we had them. They were in our basement for about a month and a half.
Wow, really? In the basement?
Oh, yeah.
In the basement, you have little going on.
Yep.
Oh,
we had a
great
dog pen set up. Yeah, it was definitely an adventure, to say the least.
Wow. But that's such an adventure to do something like that. I give you and Aaron a lot of credit for that. That's wonderful. And I remember the last time I was over there, you said, Uncle Nick, here's a dozen eggs for you. I went, what? It was like such a wonderful surprise, you know, I just didn't expect it. And that was so much fun.
And the taste of them is different, isn't it? It's such a difference.
You know, there is a difference. Normally I go to a Target, a big Target on my block here in New York to get eggs. Usually I go there, and they're fine. But yours had a little something, it's hard to put maybe a freshness or something was different. What was it, the feed that you give the chicken?
Well, when you have fresh farm eggs, you have to wash them before you cook with them, because there's what's called the bloom. It protects the egg from any bacteria. So when you go to the grocery store, the eggs, they're already washed. So you're getting eggs at the grocery store that are already probably a month or two old.
Really?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, you can keep fresh.
I don't think anybody knows that.
Yeah, no, farm fresh eggs you can keep out actually on your counter. I know like a lot of, I think like the UK, you know, other countries besides the US, they just have them on their shelves at the grocery store. They don't have them refrigerated. So it's really different here. Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea. I don't think most people have any idea about all that, those factors, not a clue. Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know until we owned the chicken.
Right. You told me to make sure you wash them, you know, to take care of them and all that, which of course I did follow that. But that was just wonderful. You have that. And also, I think it was really a smart move, because you have very energetic two little girls, and, you know, they have a lot of energy and they need to spend it somehow. And for you guys to purchase a very large trampoline in the backyard, I thought that was that was absolutely brilliant because they can jump up and down and get a lot of their energy out. You know, I thought that what a good idea for the kids.
That was the best purchase we have ever made.
You know what? I believe that. I believe that. That was a stroke of genius. Of genius. It really was. And so much fun. I mean, I saw them out there and they were having such a good time. And also great exercise. I mean, that's also great exercise for the girls. And I noticed that Aaron was having a good time too.
He's one of the kids.
He really was. He was having such a good time. You could just see on his face.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted to stop. I think he was just wanting to jump up and down. So one more thing about your backyard, and that is I want to go into a little bit about how you started thinking that maybe we should plant a garden. And about that.
So we really didn't get into the garden thing until we had our first daughter. So it was about, it'll be 9 years. She'll be nine in June. We had tried to just do tomato plants or like basil, something easy. I'd always kill them. So why not make a bigger garden? You know, that made sense. But we have the local farm that I'm at now. That's where I usually get all my plants. And just being self-sustainable and being able to go out in your backyard and pick a tomato, it's the best little feeling. You want a salad? Go pick some lettuce from the garden. Go get a tomato. We had, I want to say, 10 different plants last year, and we're going to try to expand this year, possibly with some fruit trees too. So we're making a little farm in our backyard.
That is such a good idea. You know, I've always lived in the city, basically, so of course I can't have a garden. There's not any room outside to do that. But I know from your grandmother that her father had quite a garden, and I believe Northampton, Massachusetts. And he was known for the things he grew in his garden. And my mother told me that college professors from Smith College would visit him, and he would be able to name in Latin all the different plants and flowers and everything else he had in the garden. And
wow.
I only wish at the time they had photography, so color photography, so we could have seen what he had there. I only know about it. I would have loved to have seen that. I just think that would have been of interest to me. But he was very proud of his garden, and he had quite some amazing plants, from what I understand. So good for him. I wish I could do that.
I never heard that story. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would like to, sometime when I'm in Massachusetts, go to Northampton. I have seen your grandmother, my mother's family's home there in Northampton. A cute little house, a little ways from Northampton itself, the center of it. But I did see their family home, and all the kids that were raised in that house, oh, my goodness. And you can just kind of imagine what it was like way back when for them, and to be in a place like Northampton, which is still a great place to live, for sure, a nice little town. And in fact, my mother said that the theater there, which is still very much alive, the theater they have right on Main Street there, that she used to go there as a girl, and it was only black and white silent movies at the time when she was little, but they had on the bottom of the screen what the actors were saying. And she said it was a great way to learn to read as a kid.
Nice.
How wild is that, right?
That's
great. I know that Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton did a film, a major film there in that area too. It's got a lot of history. You know, I have a friend of mine, one of my alumni from my college, one of my best friends, Colleen. And Colleen, when she graduated, she always loved to grow things. And she started her own business, and it's been thriving for all these years. And what she does is she puts ads in saying that she will design a garden for you. And then ask her about that. And she says, when someone says, I don't have the skill to do a garden in my backyard, but I so want a garden, would you help me? And so with a fee that she puts on of what it's going to cost, she will then ask them all the questions of, what's your favorite color? Do you have any particular scents or aromas that you're very attracted to? Are you spiritual at all? Are you Buddhist or Christian? Do you have any statues that you think you'd like to see in your garden? Would you like to have a bench to sit down and you know, contemplate or meditate in your garden? She asks all these incredible questions. Would you like a small waterfall in your garden? And then what she's been doing is she's hired the grown-up children, the grown-up now young adults or older, from our classmates. And so they work with her during the spring and summer and even into the fall to create these amazing gardens. What a great idea.
That is a great idea. That sounds fun to do.
Yeah, doesn't it? And she loves doing it, and she's amazing. In school, she was an incredible calligrapher, and major universities would hire her when they have a particular parchment degree or some very special honor, and they would hire her to do the calligraphy so that it would look handmade and very wonderfully presentational. And she also does, I don't know if she still does that or not, but she's doing that for a while too. So again, on her creativity, that's where she came out and also kind of went forward and expressed her creativity in other ways. So I give her a lot of credit for that.
Absolutely.
You have to meet her sometime. You would love her. Her name is Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N, Colleen, and she's terrific. I want to ask you, too, did you have homeschooling at some point? Tell me a little bit about that.
So back when everything shut down, our oldest was in preschool. So they shut down the preschool, and we didn't know what was going to happen for kindergarten because, you know, everything was shut down. So what they did was they did remote in the fall. But before that, I wanted to make sure that she'd be prepared, you know, for kindergarten. It's the first real year of school, you know. I had ordered some workbooks for both my girls because they're only a year and a half apart. So I wanted to make sure we get preschool for the little one, kindergarten for the older one. And throughout the summer, we practiced reading and, you know, the skills, like the motor skills for drawing and cutting things. So she would be prepared because even now they're saying the kids in second and third grade right now are having awful problems with reading because the masks and everything. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. I think it's more fun when they're little, but to know that she was prepared and, you know, the peace of mind sending her equipped back to school when it reopened. They were great.
Wow.
We had a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet you did. I bet you did. And you probably learned a lot, too, from that experience.
Absolutely. Patience. Lots of patience.
Were there certain subjects that they said that when you're doing homeschooling, these are the subjects, these are the things that you need to teach and how do they give you, papers for the kids to answer questions? How formal is it when you're doing home teaching?
So if we haven't done like the absolute formal part of it, but we have looked into it because if anything ever was to happen again, we were actually thinking of doing homeschooling. You have to write a letter to the school district saying what your plan is, what, you know, the outline of your curriculum has to get approved by the state type thing. And there's so many programs out there that it's actually making me feel more comfortable to do it.
Okay.
A lot of online a lot of online programs. I don't want them strictly on a computer, though. So they do have things that you can print out and they can do worksheets, because it seems like even now, though, in school, they're always on computers, which I'm not really a fan of, but everything, yeah, everything changes. But the worst thing was when she was, my oldest was doing the virtual, they were on a computer from 9 to 3, these kids. So you had 6 and 7 year olds on a screen that long.
Wow. That doesn't sound good, does it? Not that long.
No. I mean, there was breaks and everything, but they're, you know, they had the computer. They could see all their classmates. It was really hard.
I could see that, too, that because you're a little disconnected, because now you're not in the same room, you're not in the same building, and that could have, I'm sure, some perhaps traumatic feelings there with kids, feeling maybe isolated or so, and or keeping up their spirits. I think that would be part of it, wouldn't it?
Right. Hats off to the teachers, though. Oh, my goodness. I could not say enough good things about the teachers, because that was a whole new thing for them.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Wow. Wow. So many things changed with that, shall I say, era, which I hope we don't have to go back ever again with that.
No.
But it really made so many, on so many levels, on every level you can think of. Things changed in a blink, and for kids to try to fathom that's a challenge for sure.
Absolutely.
Wow. So, but it's interesting that that's going on. Also, I want to ask you, and I don't know the answer to this, but with everything you've got going, and I know what I have a pretty good feeling of. All of that, which is quite a lot. Do you have any chance to do any, have you ever had a chance to do any community work of any kind?
Not really.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Not yet.
Okay. That may come down the road. You know, I think sometimes as the kids get a little older, somehow that can be connected with community projects, that sort of thing.
Right.
But that might be down the road a bit. Maybe by that time you'll have enough sleep that you'll be able to absolutely fathom that and do some more. And also, last but not least, there's a little more time here. Being a mom, being a wife in Western Massachusetts, what are the challenges? Because I know there are, of course, challenges. What are some of the things that you're dealing with? How do you alleviate pressure? What do you do for fun? That sort of thing. If you want to get into that a little bit, I think that would kind of round it out.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I would be a stay-at-home mom. Looking back, me and my husband have been together almost 20 years, which is crazy to say out loud.
Really?
But,
wow.
Yeah, it'll be 20 years next year. We've been married 13 years this year. So
that's incredible.
But
I'm shocked. I'm shocked at the number. I am.
It's crazy. Makes me feel old. But I remember, I remember the conversation when we first started dating, like, you know, where do you see yourself? And I said I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and we kind of chuckled at that because, you know, what we would both have to give up, sacrifice, he'd have to work a lot, you know, I'd lose my mind a little bit at home. That would be okay, though. I think the big challenge is the isolation, in a way, because most of my friends are working. You know, I do work part-time now, but being home with two little ones and trying to run a house, and it's a lot. I don't think moms get enough credit. I really don't. And
it's a full-time job. That alone is a full-time job.
And working moms, how do you do it? That's my question. How full-time working moms, and I don't know.
if you ever get any answers to that, I would be interested to hear their comments. I would, because it's so much, and it involves other people. It involves people you love, and it involves your own time and trying to get things right. And sometimes, as you know, some of these things are you're doing it for the first time. So you're making your best shot, and you might get it right, and you might get it wrong.
That is so funny you say that, because I just had this conversation with my daughter, my 8-year-old. She is wise beyond her years. Both of them are. And, you know, she'll have a moment. I said, look, I'm new to this, too. This is my first time being a mom. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. So.
Right.
It's, you know.
You take your best shot. You do what you think is right. But the bottom line is, life is going to teach you if you got it right or got it wrong, per subject, per whatever you're doing. And sometimes you guess exactly right. You're right on the money. But sometimes you're a human being, and you can get things off. Things can go wrong, and that's part of life. Then you have to kind of bounce back. You have to say, okay, I've learned my lesson. Blah, 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 and let's try it again. Standing up and saying, brushing yourself off and saying, I know my mistake. Now I know how to fix it. I'm better off. And it's a process. We all go through that. Life is really a school, isn't it?
It is. It's never-ending learning.
No, it's absolutely true. And I think that goes for everybody. I should say right here, Kelly, that if any of our listeners have a question, or perhaps they might have a comment for either you or for myself, they're very welcome to contact us. I'm going to give out right now my email, my personal email address. And if anybody would like to contact either one of us, I'm inviting you to do that. So if you get a piece of paper and a pen, I'll give it to you twice so you'll get it. Okay, here we go. My email address is nicknyny1. And that's the numeral 1, not O-N-E, but the numeral 1, gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, nicknyny1. At gmail.com. So let me see. Just rounding this out more, what do you see in the foreseeable years to come? What are maybe some of your goals or some of your challenges?
Definitely to expand the garden. I don't know about homeschooling yet. Our daughters actually were asking. To do that. So that's going to be my summer project, to really look into that and see if that's the right fit for our family, and basically surviving the motherhood journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Being there for them is so important. And it really is. The expression, the hand that rocks the cradle, was it rules the world? It's an expression like that. It's so true, because you're with children and they're learning and they're seeing how things are, and they're trying to get it right, but they're kids, so they're going to make mistakes, and all the things that go into that, from the rewarding them, from understanding is so important, as you know, loving is so important to kids. Well, to everybody, but I think the kids are also fragile, and they really need to know that. I know some, in my own life, I know people who've had incredible, incredible parents, and they gave the kids everything they could, and the kids turned out so amazing. I also know
Nick, we're past the 6-minute mark, just to let you know.
Oh, thank you so much, Hercules. And I know some other kids that didn't have parents or had terrible parents. You can imagine terrible parents that were even abusive. And it's like so sad, because they've got to get past that. Anyhow, Kelly, I just want to tell you, I have had such a wonderful time interviewing you tonight.
Thank you so much for having me again. I had fun too.
I hope you did. I was very much looking forward to this. And so I'm going to say much love to you, Kelly, and I want you back sometime in the future. This is Nick Curto for The Creative Process, wishing you all an enlightening and exciting journey as you find your own path to deepen your own creative energies and more fully develop your own talents. Till next time, fully embrace your creativity in one or more areas of expression. Stay safe and be very, very kind to one another. Much love to everyone out there. Good night.
And thank you, Nick, and thank you, Kelly, for an excellent show. Kelly, you seem like a wonderful person, and Nick's been talking about you for quite a while, so I'm glad I finally got a sense of who you are.
Oh, thank you, Hercules. I appreciate that.
And thanks to all our guests. If you clicked on a link and found yourself here, if you called and you waited in our queue, or if you're going to check us out later on demand, until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And stay tuned. There'll be a lot of positive changes this year to our podcast. Be well, everybody, and take care. Good night.
Much love to all. Much love.